Well, do you ever feel like it's tough to make a financial decision, whether you have too much information, you just can't pull the trigger on something? Either way, you just end up going in circles and don't make a decision at all. Well, today in this video, we're going to discuss how you get through that, how you overcome that talking yourself into circles and actually making a decision to help you in the future. Glad to have you back on the show. I'm Ben George with John Stillman. He is a chartered retirement planning counselor at Rosewood Wealth Management. You can find him online at rosewoodwealthmanagement.com. Please subscribe if you haven't already. John, what's going on?
Good to see you, man.
Yeah, good to see you as well. I know you work with people in all kinds of situations, and we're, you know, now living in an environment where we can look up anything we want. We can find information for anything. There's whatever you want to hear, you can find. And so it's hard to really truly filter out information. It's hard to make decisions these days, so what we're going to discuss today is not all that uncommon.
Yeah, I mean, people really can have a tough time making decisions. Now, there's a spectrum, right? There are some people who make decisions way too easily and don't put any thought into it, and then there are people who way overthink everything and then can't ever make a decision, ever.
Well, we're going to err to the latter today. We got a question I wanted to run by you and have you answer it for us, talk through how you would work through this with a client. And it came in from Rose, who says, it seems like every time I need to make a financial decision, I just end up talking myself in a circle. So, for example, I have some tech stocks that I think I should sell, but I'm going to have to pay taxes if I do. And here's another example. The investments in my 401k are probably too risky for my age, but I don't want to miss out on another good market by being too conservative. So how do you stop talking yourself into a circle and never making a decision?
Yeah, so I'm reminded of a conversation I had with a lady. This was more than a decade ago. And she had all of her money, like several hundred thousand dollars, just in cash in the bank. And she came in, she said, I know this isn't a good idea. And keep in mind, you know, this was in an incredibly low interest rate environment. She said, I know this isn't a good idea. I've just been so risk averse my whole life, and I'm just not comfortable taking any risk with this money. I don't know what's going to happen with the market. You know, at the time we were having this conversation, we were not that far removed from the 2008 downturn, the financial crisis. And she was saying, I'm just not comfortable having my money back in that environment. And I'm looking for another option. I don't want to just have it all in cash. And I said, well, you know, it's important to have some money in cash. You want to have some short-term liquidity, your emergency fund, all that. But you know, you're right. Having all your money in cash is not a great idea. We've determined that you don't really need this money. Like, she had a pension. She had her Social Security. Her income was fine. She wasn't relying on any of this money for her income in retirement. I said, so let's have a longer-term approach here. I mean, you can afford to take a little risk with it. Because you don't need this money tomorrow. You've got time to ride the roller coaster. And if it loses some, you know, you're not in a bind because you have time to let it recover. She said, yeah, I'm really not comfortable with that level of risk. So what's another way I could do this? I said, well, I mean, you could do something in the fixed or the indexed annuity realm where you're getting your principal is protected, but then you're getting interest credited to you that's going to be a lot more than the interest that you're getting at the bank. She said, oh, look, that sounds great. You know, it's safe and I'm still growing. Yes, but the trade-off is you're giving up some liquidity, right? So you can't just throw, say, $100,000 into it, get some interest year one, and say, great, let me take that money and the interest and go away. Well, no. I mean, the trade-off to have that principal protection and better interest than you'd get at the bank is you're going to give up some liquidity. So you can't just year one, take it all and run. Well, I don't want to tie up all my money long-term like that. I want to have full liquidity. Okay. Well, now we're back to just keeping your money in the bank because that's where you have liquidity and safety. Yeah, but it's not growing. I understand. You can't get all three things in any one place. Growth, safety, and liquidity. You can have at most two in any one investment. And we just talked in circles for what felt like 11 days. And she just never could make a decision about anything. She couldn't do a little bit in each pot because all she could see was the negative in each thing. And she ended up doing absolutely nothing. And for all I know, she still has that money just sitting in a savings account at the bank because she just couldn't ever make a decision. And I think about her a lot when we talk about people having trouble making a decision, because she was the poster child for that particular syndrome.
Yeah, that's tough. And I mean, I get it. I understand where the concerns come from, but you just can't have everything that you want. I mean, I think that's part of it. And it's got to be hard. And it can be frustrating, I'm sure, for you to get that. But I'm sure most people get, hey, I've got to choose one or the other. And when you lay out and you kind of sit down and you see the process, you see the plan and see how everything plays out, it can be a little easier once you see the picture laid out ahead of you.
Yeah, and then also understanding what actually matters. Mm-hmm. So like in Rose's question there, she mentioned not wanting to sell some stock that's done really well because of the tax implications, the capital gains that she would incur because of that, which is kind of funny because let's think about a conversation in the Berkshire Hathaway boardroom where one day Warren Buffett went to Charlie Munger and he said, "Hey, Charlie, we did great on some of these investments that we picked a few years ago. Like our money has quintupled in those holdings. It's done really well. Now we're a little overweighted, in fact, in that particular holding because it's done so well. It's too big a percentage of our portfolio now. But Charlie, we're jammed up. We don't want to sell this because we'd have to pay capital gains on that investment that we did so well on." That conversation never happened. Mm-hmm. At no point was Warren Buffett ever scared to sell something that he made money on because of capital gains. No, when you've made money and you sell, you capture those gains, you pat yourself on the back, you celebrate a job well done, you pay your taxes, and you move on. Paying taxes on investments means you won. It means you did well. So I'm always a little amused when people make a bad investment decision or won't make a decision at all, maybe is the more accurate way to say it, because they're scared of the tax implications. So you have to think about what's really important there. Actually making money or avoiding taxes. So helping to identify what really matters in this conversation can help you make decisions too. Another thing that I found is helpful for people is doing an iterative decision-making process. Iterative decision-making. So that's where you don't make any big decisions. You just make a series of smaller decisions. So I'll put you on the spot, Ben. Let's suppose that you decided you wanted to have a different career. You're tired of this. You know, you don't want to see me anymore. You want to do something different.
Okay.
What might be that other job, that thing you've never done, but you've always kind of wanted to do and thought, yeah, I could do that if I really set my mind to it.
It's a big picture, John. Let's see. Maybe be a start my own business, be an entrepreneur.
Doing what?
I'm going to, now you're putting me in a spot for a position I've not planned for, but, let's see, we're going to make golf bags, custom golf bags.
Excellent. I like it. All right. So let's say you went home today and you said, "Lauren, I'm quitting my job. I'm starting this custom golf bag manufacturing company. I'm starting next week. What do you think?" Well, is she going to be excited about this?
Probably not.
Probably not. That's a big step, big decision, pretty giant step to take overnight.
Yeah.
But what if you said, "Hey, you know what? I've got this idea. I've got a couple of people who would be interested in a custom golf bag. What do you think if we put just a couple $100 into this, make a couple of bags, see how it goes, see if they're happy with it, and then, you know, maybe we could scale from there. Maybe I do 10 or 20 bags after that. And then we can start to get a feel for the process and, you know, see what we'd need to do to scale it and do it on even, you know, grander scale. All right. Well, this is probably a little more palatable, right? Because we're just doing it a little bit at a time. And every time we take this little step, we're going to find out more information that's going to make it easier to make the slightly bigger, the marginally bigger decision." So that's the iterative decision-making process, is don't try to decide it all at once. Just make these smaller little micro decisions. And every time you make a decision, you get a little bit more information that helps you then make the ongoing larger decisions as you move down the road.
I like that. And I feel like that's something you can apply to your life in general, right? Just make the smaller decisions, put the one step in front of the other before you try to leap. So very interesting, but a good question and a good example of a situation that many people find themselves in, especially with money. It's hard to pull the trigger on any one thing, make the big decision. So it's always best, again, to have somebody that can help guide you through that process. That's what's most important. If you want to get in touch with John, who is a chartered retirement planning counselor at Rosewood Wealth Management, you can do so by logging on, meetwithjohn.com. You'll be able to find a time to that works for you that's on John's schedule as well. Pick that out, and you'll be ready to go. John, for anybody that sits down and meets you the first time that fills out that calendar, what can they expect?
Well, if we're having our first time 15-minute retirement ready phone call, it's pretty much as it sounds, except for the fact that it doesn't have to be on the phone. Could also be on Zoom. So for some people, that's all they need. They just have a couple of basic questions and they want to do that and get on their way. It costs you nothing, but you have a little more information than you had before. For other people, they know they've needed to talk for a long time and they just haven't been able to find the time to do it. Well, you can look at this as sort of a first date. And I can give you an idea of, all right, what are the main things you really need to be thinking about? And then if we need to talk more down the road, well, now you've kind of got the ball moving. You got some momentum. Hey, it's kind of like the iterative decision-making process, right? You don't need to commit to coming in to sit down for an hour and a half. Right now, let's just talk for 15 minutes. And, you know, you can go from there with what you need to know. You'll have a little more information. You can decide what the next logical step is for you.
All right. Take advantage of the Retirement Ready phone call. And if you've enjoyed this video, this show, please hit subscribe wherever you watch or listen. And on YouTube, we always appreciate your support. Leave a comment, too, if you have a question for us. We'll try to answer that on future videos. John, thanks.
Always a pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Carolina Wealth Stewards, doing business as Rosewood Wealth Management, is a registered investment advisor in the state of North Carolina. The material presented is intended to be general information and should not be construed by any consumer as the rendering of personalized investment advice.